Hey guys, welcome back to the Armored Stealth Podcast. We have some very special news. We are officially iTunes subscribable. So if you want to subscribe to us via iTunes, you can. There's also a little thing on our podcast page on Podomatic that says subscribe via iTunes. You can subscribe to us on there. And you can also follow us on Podomatic, the website itself. So you can do that. So we're very excited about that. And we would also like for you guys to leave a comment if you would like, just to see what you guys are saying about the podcast. So, but anyway, back to what we're going to do today. This week, we're going to talk about GDC that just happened last week. And for you people who don't know what that means, it means the Game Developers Conference. And we're also going to talk a little bit about a Ubisoft game that's been out since, I think, the 2000s, called Splinter Cell Blacklist.
Well, the series has been around since 2000s, yeah. But this game hasn't come out yet.
Yeah. So, all right. So, let's get into it. Let's see. We're going to talk about GDC. So, a lot of things were announced. I didn't really hear too much about it, but I did hear some of it. I think we're going to talk about three main things. We'll talk about the first one, should be sure. Battlefield 4 was announced at GDC. Travis, what do you think about that?
Well, I did happen to see the trailer. I didn't follow too much on GDC, but the trailer kind of got a lot of hype. Due in part to the music that they chose. DICE put part of a, well, it was a Jay-Z song, but they took a clip of Rihanna, who was featured in the song, and used it as the background music. And a lot of people were not too happy about that. I guess people are just kind of hating on Rihanna. But the trailer itself was pretty good. I thought it was very realistic looking. You know, they're known for their good graphics and design on Battlefield 3. So I don't know a whole lot about it, but, you know, the gameplay can expect to be really good. You know, it's got, you know, your vehicles and the, you know, jets and all that stuff. And I don't know who you're playing as, if you're still a Marine or, a different branch of the military, but you can expect all the same, you know, groundbreaking gameplay and you know, special effects and all that you know and love.
Yeah, I only saw a portion of it, but from what I saw, it looks like they're using probably a newer engine that has better graphics, because, you know, I guess, you know, ever since I don't know what game it was, but there's been a lot of games that have been upgrading their graphics, and it's looking a little bit more realistic. I know the Fox engine from Kojima Productions, that's a thing that we'll talk about in a second. But I don't know if it's Criterion's engine, or I don't know what kind of engine it's using, but it looks pretty good. But I'm not much of a Battlefield fan. I never played the game. I mean, I've only played the game because I downloaded the demo for the Battlefield 3 one, and it was not so bad in comparison to Modern Warfare. It's not that bad. But yeah, but the Battlefield 4 looks pretty good. So do we know any more information about it, or?
I didn't catch a release date. If that's what you're asking.
All right. All right, so I guess that's all we know from Battlefield 4. But let's move on to some other ones. Another one that was, I think it was on Wednesday, was Hideo Kojima's conference at GDC. It was on Wednesday last week. I wasn't there for the cons, but I did see it later when they had posted it up. But surprisingly enough, MGS5 was announced. If you had seen Ground Zeroes previously last year on PAX East, I think, or West, you saw Ground Zeroes. It was a whole different gameplay, and you saw the graphics were phenomenal. But Let's see. Metal Gear Solid 5 was announced, and whatchamacall, they showed a new engine, and they showed the first thing that they did was show the Phantom Pain, which they previewed at, I think it was the VGAs is what it was. And pretty much what they said was that Phantom Pain and Ground Zeroes together is Metal Gear Solid 5. So what Kojima has said in a recent interview with Jeff Knightley, he said that Ground Zeroes, you would be playing that first as I think like an intro, and then you would, and then you're gonna play the Phantom Pain 9 years later, onwards in the game. So, you know, if you're excited as I am, because I'm a huge, it's like my fairy game, I'm really excited. But one of the things they didn't announce, but David Hayter said on his Twitter, is that he will not be returning as the voice actor for Snake. But here's my opinion of it. You know, it's sad that he won't be returning, but if you saw in Metal Gear Solid 4, he was old Snake, voicing old Snake. They had to get somebody else for Big Boss at the end, which was Richard Doyle. So maybe Richard Doyle might be the guy who is going to be voicing him as older, because now Big Boss is getting older, and he's going to be more of a villain, if you know the story. So, you know, a lot of people are disappointed, but, you know, for me, I don't think it's much of a disappointment. It's more of, like, changing the character. Well, not changing the character, but, you know, changing the voice actor, because he's already getting older. You know, originally, David Hayter, he voices Solid Snake, not Big Boss. You know, he voiced Snake because mostly they're, you know, he's a clone of, you know, Solid Snake is a clone of Big Boss. So that's why they, you know, voiced him. But now, as Big Boss is getting older, you know, I guess they decided to change voice, so he'll be changing the voice. But, like I said, I think, you know, I guess the change may benefit or may not. So, you know, if you think, you know, if it's, if you don't like it, I guess, you know, comment, and, you know, we'll talk about it some more. But, you know, it's, I'm a little sad about it, Travis.
All right, so I'm changing the subject just a little bit. For those of us who are ignorant and live under a rock, what is Phantom Pain?
Hideo Kojima hasn't really revealed what the Phantom Pain is. In the trailer, they showed us that Big Boss, he is in a they bring him into this hospital or facility, and I guess he got hurt or wounded, and I think he got half his arm cut off, I think. You know, we don't know. We'll have to wait and see, you know, later. Maybe at E3 we'll see something. But I guess it's referring to as what he said in Ground Zeroes. When there was Fox, there were two Phantoms were born. So, I mean, it's kind of hard to explain it, but, you know, we don't know really what it means. You know, Kojima likes to keep it hidden until, you know, he reveals the whole, you know, gameplay of the game is released. But, you know, as we've seen the trailer, you know, he gets to a coma for 9 years, and then he gets, you know, back up after 9 years. He gets back up, and, you know, he notices that half his arm is missing, and he has like a hook, like Captain Hook's, and pretty much, you know, that's how it starts, I guess. And then you see all these hallucinations, or, you know, people are claiming that there are hallucinations. You see like the giant flying whale, and then you see like, I think Volgan, one of the bosses from MGS3, you see him reappear, and you see little child Psycho Mantis. You know, we don't know what it is, man. It's a hard thing to explain.
So it sounds like it's kind of like a sequel to Ground Zeroes.
Well, kind of, you know, it is kind of a sequel, but they're put together. The game is put together. You know, like I said, Ground Zeroes is what you're gonna be playing first. And then, like, that's going to be the beginning of the game. And then after, like, I guess after you get hurt or your base gets destroyed, because you see in the trailer their base gets destroyed, he gets into a coma in 9 years. It's the Phantom Pain. So I guess, you know, the first thing is going to be Ground Zeroes, and then it's going to be the Phantom Pain.
All right, so are they going to be sold together, or are those two separate products.
That's what people have been asking on the MGS forums. Nobody knows yet. Actually, Jeff Knightley did ask them, were they going to be sold together, or was it going to be sold, you know, as one, or, you know, separate? Kojima said he couldn't reveal that information at this time, so we don't know if that's going to be together. You know, maybe it is, but, you know, maybe it isn't. So, but what I want to point out is that he did, after the trailer, he did do a tutorial of the gameplay, and a lot of people are claiming that the guy that you see in the in bandages on his face, they say that is a hallucination of his, that there's really nobody them helping him out, because he's seen all these hallucinations, but we don't know yet. But they do, people are saying as well that Kiefer Sutherland is voicing Snake, or is the his hallucination. So we don't know. I mean, it sounds like him. I've seen the trailer like two times. It sounds like him. But, you know, it kind of, you know, we'll have to see, because, you know, we don't really know a lot of information about it. But actually, another thing that I want to point out is that a lot of people were referring this new MGS5 to MGS3. Like, you know, you did a Virtuous mission at the beginning, and then you did a Snake Eater mission. So, I mean, if you want to go back, if you want to see it that way, like, as the, you know, if you're confused about Ground Zeroes and the Phantom Pain, you can see it that way. You know, the Virtuous mission, Metal Gear Solid 3, and then Snake Eater. And you could also do it as, like, you know, the Ground Zeroes is first, and then the Phantom Pain. So, you know, I kind of see it that way. You know, that makes sense. But, you know, Kojima has a lot to reveal yet. We don't know. If you should follow, you should really follow him on Twitter. If you don't follow him on Twitter, he you know, he says a lot about, he tweets out a bunch of pictures of what he does. I think right now I just saw that he was doing a mocap session, so that's probably, you know, aligned with Metal Gear Solid 5. We don't know, but we do not have a release date on this game yet. And, you know, we'll probably see more, a little bit more at E3. But other than that, Travis, I don't think it may come out this year. I think it's going to be, you know, a difficult game to produce and whatever. So we'll probably see it next year, maybe. Or, you know, hell, man, we might even see it this year if, you know, if he's, like, tricky enough to pull off this year. But one last thing that I want to point out about this subject is that David Hare did say he was not asked to voice Big Boss. So, you know, it is a disappointment, but, you know, in reality, it's not really a huge much difference. So, because there's not a lot of their characters who voice a lot of the characters in the games are not coming back, because, you know, this is a whole different story, Big Boss, instead of, you know, the main story of Solid Snake. So, but other than that, yeah, it looks pretty good. So, you know, we'll see what happens. Maybe at E3, maybe we might see a little bit more of explanation of the story, what's going to happen. So, but all right, let's get on to the the last thing that we want to talk about that I saw. I think it was Bungie's conference. It happened last Thursday. It was pretty much about the new game Destiny, as we talked about last week, which is really exciting. Pretty much what I saw in the conference is that they showed a lot of concept art, and they really didn't show any video. They really didn't show any, you know, their engine or whatever. They really didn't, you know, show any of that. And, you know, they did confirm that this is going to be a 10-year-long process, like Travis had said, you know, and, you know, we really didn't explain. Well, I mean, we did explain a little bit, but not a lot. But they are in a 10-year agreement with Activision for publishing, and it's going to be a long road, is what they said. And they're just going to, you know, they want this world to be a live world, you know. So, you know, it looks like it's towards an MMO, you know, RPG MMO. You know, we don't know. But I'm a little excited, Travis, for this. But they did show a lot of concept art. They showed some of the classes. I forgot what some of the classes were. They showed some enemies. Like, I think they one of the enemies was called the Hive, which is pretty much like a zombie clan or whatever. And I guess they're like alive, and, you know, I guess they're trying to find you so they can eat you, whatever. I think there was another class called the Voyagers, but I don't remember. I really don't remember. But I think there's three human classes, and then there's going to be three classes, I guess, if you want to be evil or something like that, with the alien class, whatever. But they what they did say is they did a lot of research on Western films, like, you know, Clint Eastwood films, all those Western stuff, type of films, spaghetti Westerns. They also did a lot of music. They try to reference a lot of music, see what they could fit in. So the game is pretty much going to be like a Western sci-fi feel. That's what they said is what it's going to be, as Joseph Staten has claimed. So, in all reality, I think the game is going to look pretty cool. They did show a picture of a shot where it was like a third-person view of this character that some guy was playing. But it was just a screenshot. It wasn't a video. They didn't show any video at this conference. But other than that, I didn't really see a lot, Travis. You know, it was kind of a little bit boring because, you know, well, it's a game developers conference. It's pretty much for people who want to get into making games. But, you know, but I didn't really see too much about it. They did have this one thing, which a class that they were going to call the Tiger class, which is pretty much going to be like a Tiger Man. They were trying to fit that in into their They were trying to fit that in into their classes or whatever, or the ranks. But they say it wasn't going to work out, so maybe it might. They probably won't put it in the game. But maybe, you know, maybe it might come in as a, you know, NPC maybe, or an AI. But well, we don't know. But other than that, I didn't see too much information about Bungie's Destiny. They, you know, just pretty much put a lot of concept art and what they did a lot of research on their game. So, and a lot of people claim that, you know, it's kind of like Star Wars reference or Halo. You know, not really. It's a whole different ballgame, guys. It's way different than anything that they've done. So we'll have to see what happens at E3, because Joseph Staten did say at the end, he said, "We'll see you at E3. So hopefully we'll see a little bit of gameplay and see how this game moves on forward, man. What do you think, Travis?
I'm looking forward to it. I think this is a revolutionary new idea, and I think this is going to kind of set a new standard of gameplay in the industry.
Yeah, I agree with you on that, man. It is going to be a whole new thing, because I've never seen anybody, you know, have a 10-year-long contract with Activision Publishing, you know, publishing the game and, you know, having all that stuff come out throughout 10 years. We don't even know if it's going to be DLC that comes out with new content, or it's just going to be like downloading updates. We don't know. So we'll have to see. You know, hopefully they don't make it where you have to buy the DLC or buy downloads or whatever. But Joseph Staten did say that you are not going to be playing, it's not going to be a month-to-month subscription or whatever. So if you guys are worried about that, don't worry about it, because this is pretty much an Xbox game, Xbox 360, PS3, PS4, and probably on a new Xbox that maybe we might have news about at E3. So, you know, stay tuned for all those news, you know, and stay tuned for us, because we'll be covering most of that stuff. So, but all right, since we talked about Destiny last week and a little bit this week, let's get on to Blacklist, Splinter Cell. You know, Travis, I haven't seen any news about it since last year at E3. What's the current details, my friend?
Well, there's actually not a whole lot new. I mean, they have, you know, released the different versions, and they got some gameplay out there that you should probably take a look at on YouTube or on Ubisoft.com,
which is from E3,
right? But it is continuing their action-adventure stealth series. This is the seventh game in the series. You know, it's been around since, like Carl mentioned, since the early 2000s.
That's right.
And because of that, Michael Ironside, the voice actor, is pretty old by now. So he will not be voicing Sam Fisher like he did in the previous six games. So, you know, a lot of people were really upset about that, myself included. But their reasoning behind that is because they're looking to do motion capture for this game, which includes the facial features for, you know, movement of the mouth and the reactions and things like that. It's all done at one time. So if you don't know, Michael Ironside is a little bit too old to be in a, you know, a skin tight, you know, sensor suit jumping around and doing that kind of thing. So,
well, I don't see why they have to change the voice actor. You know, maybe they could just get some other guy to just do mocap, and then he'll just do the voice, you know, voicing. But I mean, what's the reasoning behind that?
Well, a lot of games are moving to doing the motion capture of the face. So when the character is talking, you know, the actual movement of his mouth is completely synchronized. You know, his facial expressions, you know, if he's yelling, you know, his forehead is wrinkled up, you know, those kind of things. They want to capture that as realistically as possible at the same time as capturing the entire movement of the body. So, you know, it's hard to synchronize that up if you do them separately. I mean, you know, they've been doing it separately before they even had motion capture, but now they're just trying to keep that as realistic as possible. So, yeah, I really do like Michael Ironside's voice.
Yeah, me too.
But, you know, I kind of understand their reasoning, so.
Well, actually, something to point out, actually, on the Uncharted series, Nolan North, and I forgot who voices Scully in Uncharted, but those two together, they do the mocap stuff for Uncharted. But the guy who does, his name is Sully, he's actually a pretty old guy. He's, you know, he's pretty much old, you know, just, I'd say about kind of around the same age as Michael Ironside, and I don't see why, I think Michael Ironside probably has more wrinkles, and I guess it's because of his face more of why they didn't choose him to bring him back in. But, you know, the other guy that does Uncharted, all the Uncharted, Sully, you know, he's a pretty old guy, and he does all the motion capture as well. But I guess, you know, it's what, you know, Ubisoft, you know, plans to do. So what are some of the other news?
Well, before I move on, it was more of like a physical limitation thing, because Michael Ironside, the actor that they got to do the voice of Sam now is, you know, he's a younger guy, and he's more able to do all the physical demanding stuff.
That's right.
Which is what they what they're really looking for. And Michael Ironside is a little bit too old to be, you know, climbing over walls and stuff like that. So, all right. So it's called Splinter Cell Blacklist, as Carl mentioned. The Blacklist is a sort of a countdown of terrorist attacks. Apparently, there's 12 countries that are getting tired of U.S. military presence in their nation, and they're retaliating with a series of terrorist attacks. Now, I didn't specify how many attacks there were, but each one, it's escalating. So each one is, you know, worse than the last one, until finally they get to like this grand, you know, plot to really, you know, annihilate some people, I guess. And all these are attacks on U.S. interests. So Sam is now the leader of fourth echelon. That's right, fourth echelon, not third echelon. After conviction, third echelon was disbanded. You know, there was corruption and everything. It was too horrible. So fourth echelon was created, and Sam is the head of it. You know, it's about time. He's been working for this place for a long time, right? He needs a promotion.
Yeah.
All right, so it's actually a kind of a close-knit group. You know, third echelon was this big, you know, organization, and you had a bunch of splinter cells, and you had the people higher up who were calling the shots, and you know, they reported to different, you know, the National Security Agency. Now, fourth echelon is a much closer-knit, smaller group. Sam is not only the leader of it, but he is the splinter cell, the field operative. So he's calling the shots, and he's out in the field. It's kind of a unique concept. you know, that probably wouldn't happen in real life, but it sounds like Grimm is still helping him, Anna Grimm's daughter, you know, via communications in his ear and all that.
Was Anna Grimm the original officer that was helping him?
She was around since the first game, but she was always like the, you know, the voice in your head that kind of, you know, tells you, you know,
yeah,
your communications and officer and all that. And of course she played a big role in Conviction, where she helped you get to the terrorists.
That's right.
All right, so we got a release date, August 20 of this year, so keep an eye out for that. And the other thing about Fourth Echelon is, I know I'm kind of backtracking here, Fourth Echelon only answers to the president, so that kind of keeps things, you know, you don't have this long chain of command, you know, where you got to report to somebody else who reports to somebody else who then reports to the president. You know, Sam reports directly to the president, so you don't have, you know, all this miscommunication or corruption or anything like that.
That sounds really good right there.
Yeah.
I like the idea of that, you know, just reporting to the president and, you know, not reporting to anybody else. You know, he's pretty much the leader. He reports to the president. If the president is a good guy with him, you know, they're, you know, they keep in check with each other. That sounds really good, man.
Right. And I know they got some new stuff that they introduced in the gameplay. They showed off, well, one of the major things is they changed his weapon system. In up until Conviction, Sam always used an SC-20K, which was kind of a modified, what is it, F-2000?
FN-2000?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
the Belgian weapons, right, if you don't know.
So he always used that, and because that was like the official Splinter Cell rifle, and he had a, what was his pistol? The 5.7. So that's also Belgian.
A great pistol, if I might add.
And so that those were like his official weapons. He used that in every game because that was what was assigned to him by Third Echelon. And then in Conviction, you know, because he's gone rogue, he can use, you know, anything he picks up. But now that he's back, he's with Fourth Echelon, they changed his weapon system. I don't know if they're trying to get something newer or what they're going for, but they assigned him an HK416 as his primary weapon. And I think they may have kept the pistol the same. I'm not sure about the pistol. But I'm a big fan of the HK416, so I'm kind of looking forward to it. It's kind of a, you know, different thing. Hopefully it works out. People were kind of concerned about how it doesn't have the launcher. The SC-20K always had a launcher, and you could launch sticky cameras, shockers on your enemies. You could you know, have some kind of explosives and things like that. It was kind of a grenade launcher, but you could launch other devices out of it. So people are kind of saying, well, I don't know if the HK416 is going to have that, but you know, I suppose they could always add one on there. And the other big thing was the airplane. Fourth Echelon operates from a mobile operating station in the air. They created this fictional airplane. It's actually a really big aircraft. They call it the Paladin, but it's basically like a modified like cargo plane that's got like the entire base on board. So that's like how they communicate with Sam and all that.
That's pretty cool, man. Nice. Yeah, well, thanks Travis for that information. Yeah, that's really good. I want to see how that's gonna work. You know, I've never played Splinter Cell. I played the first one, but I didn't really get into it. But actually, now that you mentioned all this stuff, I think I might want to be able to play it, man. I might want to get into it. It looks really good. But all right, guys, we have run out of time. We you know, we got some workout we gotta, you know, get to. but like I said at the beginning, we are now iTunes subscribable. So, you know, subscribe to iTunes or go to Podomatic, subscribe with iTunes there, or just follow us on there as well. But you know, thank you for listening to our podcast this week. We hope you guys have a good week this week, and we will see you next week. Bye-bye.